thanks very much. It's nice to see everybody here today, and I think there is a kind of nice, quite happy feeling, a nice relaxed, optimistic feeling, especially given that we got the news yesterday that our sister Anastasia and her four children will be back in Scotland and in her home on Monday at some point, and we look forward to celebrating and enjoying that for a number of reasons. Because she's been liberated and is no longer in detention, because her children are liberated and are no longer in detention, but also because, given the right push, given the right support, given the right look into her situation, she got justice. And it's a justice that too many people don't get, simply because they don't get the proper supports, and because we have a racist, reactionary Home Office who do everything they can to make sure that that stays the case. And all of it is about people moving around the world. That's what all of it's about, and problems supposedly about people moving all over the world. It's about borders, it's about boundaries. We have walls around Dungavel that prevent people from their freedom, that prevent people going in to assist people. We have boundaries and borders in our communities that make people feel separate from each other physically, emotionally, mentally and psychologically. And we have lines in the sand which have been drawn all over the world for many centuries and are still being drawn, unfortunately, all over the world. And these lines are the things that we're not allowed to cross. Well, when I say we, of course I am allowed to cross most of them, because I'm a white woman, I have blue eyes, I speak English, and I can use my passport and get pretty much everywhere apart from America, because I do have a criminal record, because I do protest, and therefore I'm not allowed to enter America. Well, I actually am quite pleased about that one, but nonetheless, I have freedom of movement pretty much all over the world. But I'm not the only person or thing that has freedom all over the world. As a socialist, we often call for the taxing of the fabulously rich. The wealthy should pay their way. We need to redistribute the wealth. We say that a lot. We say that on a daily basis in Parliament, in the media, in our everyday lives. That's what we believe very strongly. That's what we are trying to achieve. But when we say tax the rich, somebody in the Parliament or somebody in the media will inevitably turn around and say, oh no, you can't tax the rich, because if you tax the wealthy, they'll flee, they'll leave the country. Well, why is it that if you start taxing the rich, they can actually say, well, I've had enough of this, I'm away to India to see if I can exploit somebody there? Why is it that the wealthy and capital and the markets can travel wherever they like in the world, but the people cannot? The people are penned in, and to achieve that penning in, then they have to attack the people. They have to be racist towards the people. They have to create concern, stigma, suspicion, hatred among the people, so that they can prevent them from moving around, prevent you from moving around. And when you do move around, when you flee because of poverty, war, torture, oppression, hunger, environmental destruction, or simply just to have a look somewhere else and see what you can do. When you do that, the walls come up, the borders appear, and the hate campaign begins. And why is that? Well, there are many, many reasons why the markets and capital and the greedy can travel all over the world, and they're all connected to the reasons why you can't. Because the reason that folk are not to travel all over the world is plain. If capital and the markets are going to move around, then the workforce has to stay where it is. The people have to stay where they can be got at, where they can be exploited, and better still if they're in crisis, and even better if they're in poverty and war. Much easier to exploit then. And this is what we face. This is the balance that's up there for us. But we know this. We understand this. And one of the greatest concerns and fears, I think, to the government these days is asylum. Oh, not because asylum seekers are coming and eating our swans, because apparently the Sun newspaper reported that, or our donkeys for that matter. Not because they're coming to steal the benefits or get fridges or steal our women or any of these things. Oh no, none of that. The greatest threat to capitalism, to big business and to our governments is exactly what we're doing here and now, the exchange of information. Yeah. And I'll tell you an example of that that filled me with absolute joy. And the children often get you to the core of things in their language. Children are very good at that. What's happening, of course, at the moment in our schools up and down the country is that asylum seekers are coming in from all over the world. Children are sitting next to each other, barriers are falling, boundaries are falling, children are seeing children, neighbours are reaching out, at first concerned, but gradually going, oh, wait a minute, you're just like me, you get a headache and buy paracetamol and things like that, and things, exchanges are taking place. Well, listen to this, we exchange. Child from Mozambique in a school in Glasgow sitting next to a child from Glasgow. The child from Glasgow says what children all say to each other, what does your daddy, what does your dad do for a living? So the child from Mozambique says, my dad worked in a diamond mine. And the wee boy went, a diamond mine? You must be a millionaire. You must be really, really wealthy. And the wee boy says, you're kidding. And he says, well, we can't afford diamonds. My mum, you know, the Scottish boy, we can't afford diamonds. And the wee boy from Mozambique says, no, neither can we. We can't, I've never seen a diamond, says the wee boy. But he says, your dad works in a diamond mine. Surely your mother's covered in diamonds, you know. And he says, no. He says, why did you leave there? You should stay there and get the diamonds and you'll do really, really well. You can build a big diamond house and have diamond toys and, you know, this kind of child. And the wee boy from Mozambique says, no, a few years ago, the rivers rose up because of environmental problems and the floods came and the homes were washed away and the land was washed away and people died. And a woman gave birth up a tree and the whole world watched as the woman gave birth up a tree in Mozambique. And the helicopter came in for the Red Cross or something, and the white-faced guy pulled the woman and her baby from the tree, and the world rejoiced because the woman and her baby had been pulled from the tree. Of course, under the tree, the homes were gone, the lives were gone, the children were dead, the mothers were dead. And the wee boy from Mozambique said, and my dad was working in the diamond mine that day, digging the diamonds. And so the wee boy from Glasgow says, and how's your dad, how did he go on? He says, well, his boss gave him 7 days to go back and see if his family were dead or alive, and he had to be back at work in 7 days, and it was unpaid leave. The wee boy from Glasgow's got to weigh all this up because he knows that the diamond shops are the shops that he doesn't even get to go and look in, so he can't understand us. Very, very quickly in that exchange, the borders and the boundaries, the myths fell between these two children. And that is where, hopefully, the myths of the rest of the world will fall. And surely, therefore, the exchange and the movement of people and the exchange of that type of information, that reality of the lives that we all lead, is where the answer lies. Because none of us can afford diamonds either. And we have so much in common, but our leaders don't want us to share that. And these are the borders and boundaries. Cassandra talked about the heart, the borders and boundaries of the heart and the mind. We, of course, need to open all of those up, but we need to open up our countries as well. Now, for me, anybody, we're told in the Scottish Parliament, of course, we cannot take to do with matters of immigration. Well, I'm sorry, they're human rights issues. And the last time I checked, I was a human being, and therefore, the brothers and the sisters around the world need to unite and stick up for each other. So I don't, and nor does Sandra, live by those boundaries that are enforced upon us. And so even I believe that if you are fleeing oppression, then come here. If you're fleeing anything, in fact, if you want to come here, just come here. We've got plenty of space. And in fact, more than that, if I want to put it down to an economic argument, if I want to put it down to a political argument, well, we need you here too. We need people to come to this country for the reason that our population is in decline, the sharpest decline we've ever seen. And all of Europe, Scotland's plummeting in terms of numbers for a number of reasons. One of the reasons might be that we're free to move around the planet, and that's great. The cultural exchange from Scotland across the world, go for it, it's good. But we need to exercise that in the other direction as well. Not only do we, though, need people to come here and work so that when I'm a very old lady, somebody will be paying their tax so that I can get into a home and be cared for by a nurse, because that's inevitably what won't happen if we don't sort this problem out. But not only that, we need people to come here and bring their children and grow their children and stay at home. We need to give and say to you, actually, will you stay at home? We'll organise a creche and we'll do everything for you. We really, really need you. So here, not only are we giving you a fridge, we're giving you a life, a warm welcome, you know, and we need you. And in fact, we should be standing at our airport saying, no, you're not leaving, instead of what's happening at the moment, which is, no, you're not coming in. And so that's the climate, that's the situation for Scotland. But nothing can be more important than that exchange between our children. So the struggle and the difficulty that we are going through, which has reached fever pitch in the run-up to this election, because statistics are what matters and not people, you see, and people are paper as well. And so at the moment it's particularly awful, without doubt, and we will always go through these waves of difficulty. But if we work together and we continue this exchange and we stand bold in the face of all that and we keep doing what we're doing, I have great hope for the future of the world. And I think that, you know, a world without borders is what we have to seek. And anybody who finds that something just hard to believe, then they need to look inside themselves and ask why they want to build walls and barriers between them and the people of the rest of the world. So talking together, we can set aside suspicion and fear and concern. And working together, we can make a better world. And if you don't have borders and boundaries, then people can flee danger and dictatorships, and therefore they will be the ones who don't have a job or a place to go. So let's look forward, let's continue the exchange between our children, and let's stick together in the positive way that we're working at the moment, because there is hope out there, because there's more of us than there is of them. So down with the borders, down with the boundaries, together with the people, and let's make the world a better place. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie.